I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
She was a good girl.
She did raise you and your sister, but, like, I would guess of the two of you that your sister, that Heather, was the more wild of the two.
She is.
I don't see you doing a lot of grinding at your high school
Heather
dances.
Heather is the dancer.
That's what I'm saying.
She didn't become wild until after high school.
I'm just saying maybe it's all contextual. Maybe what your mom believes to be a sort of lewd dance, maybe that's only because, again, she is of a different generation, and so it seems shocking to her. I'm just going to read this article, because I never know whether this is real or whether this is, again, just some sort of... I never know whether these things actually happen or whether it's a thing that teenagers sort of do just to annoy adults to see if adults will believe it. This is from Concord. A dance, and this whole thing it just sounds so lame and out of touch. A dancing style, school administrators say, mimics a sexual act, brought a recent Concord High School dance to an abrupt end for almost half the students. Principal Gene Connolly says the school will cancel the upcoming homecoming dance and all remaining dances if students refuse to halt grinding. Grinding is described as a... This is a news story now. Grinding is described as a style of dancing where... See, this can't really be real.
It's real, not. Rick.
I want to see it.
Have you been out in, like, a dance club in the past 10 years?
What do you think? No, I have... The one time I went to a dance club was with you because we had to judge that hideous breakdancing contest. But then we're not talking about a dance club. This is a high school. Grinding is described as a style of dancing where the girl leans forward. The boy puts his pelvis against her backside, says the Concord Times.
Probably the Concord Monitor.
And thrusts. Says Connolly, this style of dancing is just so wrong.
This is what happens, and this is why I plant my ass on a bar stool and never go to places that have dancing. This is what girls do. You don't dance face-to-face anymore. The second some guy comes up, he's like, hey, I want to dance. Okay, then the girl turns around, sticks her ass out, and he starts doing his thing. It's so awful.
Okay.
This is the new social norm.
I don't get it. Maybe I'm a prude.
The best part, though, is you couldn't see this, was that when you were acting it out just now, you're like, the girl sticks her ass out, and the guy gets behind her, starts doing his thing, and you're doing... Sarah's like... Like doing this weird swivelly, you're doing this weird shaking thing as you're describing it.
That's why I can never be cool, and I don't dance like that, and that's the only way that girls dance these days.
Some students don't think it's offensive. They say grinding is just like the jitterbug was in years past. Senior Caleb Bisson, we were raised to dance like that. So they're now putting out, listen to this now. This is how you solve all problems with high schoolers, of course, with memos. The administrators met with the student senate last year and drafted a dance memo of understanding in which students acknowledge current dance trends can appear sexual. The issue came to a head at last Saturday's dance, the first of the year, when half a dozen boys were asked to leave after they refused to stop grinding despite repeated warnings. The students eventually wound up at a park where they played music and engaged in the dance, da 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 da. So there you go. And the best part, by the way, Pete Duvall, who is a senior, says he doesn't object to grinding because it doesn't lead to further touching. And then he says, quote, we're just high school students. It's not like we're going to do anything bad or anything.
Oh, yeah.
So there you go. That's fantastic.
It just kind of echoes what, you know, how girls, they dress so slutty.
But so it really happens? It's not a story that's fake?
No, it's not a story that's fake. And it's really kind of sad because these women just become submissive to these guys. I mean, the style of dance basically is just women turning around, being faithless to these guys. They just sit and stare at the girls' butts as they're, you know, gyrating back and forth.
As they're doing their thing.
It's disgusting.
So if I was to go to a high school here, you do. If I was to go to a high school in Portland, this is what I'd see.
This is what you'd see at the Greek Cuisina on a Friday night.
Man, this is a good...
Aren't Greeks like that anyway?
They're a passionate people. They're a hot-blooded people.
And they smash plates and whatnot.
Yes.
If they don't get their way.
And their women have mustaches.
and hairy arms.
And the smell of sausage. I mean,
I wish we had Gary Baumgarten right now.
I was just going to say
his head would explode.
Seriously, I mean, I always say that, like, it's too bad I'm not a teenager now because it's a good time to be a teenager. But here's the thing. If I was a teenager, I'd still just be sitting at home. I'd still just be sitting at home with, like, a Ray Bradbury novel and weeping to myself. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter. Not like I'd be having a good time regardless. I just...
You have a good time by yourself.
That's what I do.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Hey, Scotty, can you ask Ed McCarthy if he can hang on for just a second? We'll come back. And then we got somebody whose nephew goes to Concord High School. Fantastic.
How about that?
All right. If he can hang on for a second, we'll break and we'll come back and we'll talk to our man Ed McCarthy down there. Is that cool? All right.
I used to work in Concord, New Hampshire.
Really? Is that true?
Well, that air check we played me playing love songs.
Really? People might have been grinding to your voice, Jim Riley.
Oh my! Well, those Roberta Flack songs.
Apparently, in Orange County, it's Listen to this. The topic of discussion in Orange County was freaking, a dance in which partners grind and gyrate against each other.
Jesus. It's sweeping the nation.
If my daughter were caught freaking, I'd be very disappointed. All right, we'll come back, we'll do more. We got Ed McCarthy, Brian, later on, we got Peter Carlin for the Oregonian. Stay there for Rick Emerson Show.
This is the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970, Southern State Radio.
So it's a good time to be a boy, at least. All right.
That's probably true.
Well, anywho. Let's talk about... And the thing is, it's like I pricked some bubble of anger. It's like you've just been waiting to seethe about it.
No, I just don't get it.
Have you witnessed it? Have you gone to places and seen it happening, the grinding?
I've been to weddings where people are dancing like that. And I just, it makes me feel completely out of touch because I don't want to stick my ass in some guy's groin, you know? It's disgusting. And maybe I sound like a prude. I don't care. I'm not going to do it. I don't want some guy rubbing himself on me, you know, just because that's, no. I am an old lady.
Hello, welcome to middle age, Sarah. Population, Tim and Rick and you.
Why?
All right. Moving on, CD Game Exchange. If you're looking to shake your booty in high style, or perhaps rock a party this weekend, or whatever.
I've seen some copies of Now 2 there.
Really?
Every Now.
Yes. You need to get your electric slide going or whatever it is. CD Game Exchange, 5 locations in Portland, 1 near you. Brand new one on Southeast McLaughlin Boulevard as well. They buy, they sell, they trade. They got CDs, DVDs, posters, video games, including that brand new Lego Star Wars game, which Todd the Corpse has raved about. Go see him. Tell me you heard it on the Rick Emerson Show. Proud sponsor, CD Game Exchange.
If you haven't heard the Tom Likas Show lately... You haven't heard this.
Yeah, I found your topic that started off your hour very interesting. The story of Dear Abby and Poindexter. I, too, have a similar story that is beginning to unfold that I thought I would share with you. I have always been that nice guy, that good friend, that shoulder to cry on, and basically the... that the girls would call when they need someone reliable. For years, Tom, I was always chasing women, only to end up having them tell me that I was too good of a friend to lose, and that they didn't want to mess up our perfect friendship by getting any closer. My response, in my head, mind you, because I was still that nice guy, was, I don't need any more effing friends. I've got plenty.
Let's listen. The Tom Likas Show. Weekdays at 3 on AM 970. Solid State Radio.
Hey, be glad you bought it, J. Lee Gladstone Honda. They are J. Lee Gladstone Honda on McLaughlin Boulevard.
AM 970 here, reminding you that listening to anything else turns your brain into a shapeless, formless, watery goo, unable to calculate even the simplest of mathematical equations. You don't want that to happen to your wonderful brain now, do you? No, you don't. don't. Keep listening to AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Critics call the new CBS comedy The Class bright and funny, an exuberant winner. Thanks. Don't miss a new episode of The Class, CBS Tonight.
This hour of The Rick Emerson Show brought to you by CD Game Exchange with five locations in Portland. They buy, they sell, they trade. CD Game Exchange.
When looking at granite countertops or travertine tile, getting the lowest price doesn't always translate to getting the highest quality product. Those ultra-low priced granite countertops tend to give off a cheap, lackluster look, as if setting anything on it will cause it to break like glass. At West Coast Granite and Flooring, their prices continue to be as competitive as any granite and flooring company in Portland, while also being able to provide durable, long-lasting granite countertops and travertine tiling that you'll enjoy for years to come. West Coast Granite and Flooring has a wide selection of prefabricated granite countertops priced 45% less than most local publicators, and flooring that starts at $1.20 per square foot. You should also come check out their showroom, where they have 8x2 granite countertops that start at $99. West Coast Granite and Flooring is located at 7124 Southeast 92nd Avenue. Just take I-205 to the Southeast Foster exit and turn left onto 92nd, or call 503-252-9000 for more information. That's 503-252-9000. West Coast Granite and Flooring. The only thing that'll break is their prices.
Attention investors, how do you protect yourself against world uncertainty and rising inflation? With an investment in gold. The price of gold has doubled in the past 5 years, and now experts are predicting gold has the potential to exceed $1,000 per ounce, and some say even more, much more. Tap into the power of gold with a free Gold Investors Kit. Call Goldline at 1-800-605-0172. Goldline has been the nation's premier gold investment company since 1960. With an investment of as little as $1,000, gold can diversify your savings, increase your growth potential, and protect your financial assets in today's unstable market. Call Goldline for your free Gold Investors Kit. 1-800-605-0172. Call right now and also ask for your free CD, How to Invest in the 2006 Gold Bull Market. Call Goldline now. 1-800-605-0172. That's 1-800-605-0172.
KCMD AM Portland. This is AM 970.
What do you want?
The best you've got?
Solid State Radio. Attention cab drivers, bartenders, vampires, and cops. The John and Jeff Show is live. Weeknights at 11. Only on AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Rick Emerson Show. It's 503-732-970. The hell is this?
You don't show up. I'm sitting in here by myself.
I'm sorry.
The show has started. You and Tim are gone.
I'm sorry. I was talking to a guy. I lost track of talking.
I was here having the grinding conversation in the hallway.
Because I was distracted by a thing. No, I was talking to a guy in the hall. I didn't realize we were back. Where's Tim? Oh, he's just gone. All right.
Do you remember her?
Oh, wait.
Our lady from way back when?
503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It is the Rick Emerson radio show.
Oh, sexy wing.
This is what you grind to. Oh, baby. Back up and give me some of that ass. God. Rick, I know Sarah's got that bad girl vibe the fellas crave, but this religious boy's crush on her just grew a little bit as she espoused her disdain for the grinding. There you go. There's a good Christian boy who loves you even more. Hey, by the way, and we got to talk to Ed McCarthy here in a second, but
he's right outside of the Superdome.
Really?
He just called. Yep.
Speaking of the bad girl vibe that all the boys crave, can we mention is that your new MySpace photo?
Oh yeah.
That is the best photo of you that's ever been taken.
What, the skull one?
Yeah, and the skull dress.
Yeah.
You're with a mannequin?
Yeah.
I hope that's a mannequin. Is that a mannequin?
That's a mannequin, yeah.
It looked a little bit like your friend Lisa for a second. I had to look really close. No, I don't mean that as an insult. But I looked, because, you know, this is sort of a slender, long-haired, and I'm like, is that Lisa? No, it's a dummy. But that is the best photograph of you that's ever been taken.
Oh, that's so nice. Thank you.
At least that's what I thought. Because a guy, and I don't mean this in a creepy way, but a guy sent it to me this morning with a long sort of dissertation on it. But I hadn't seen it because I hadn't checked your mind, but you did. That's from the new modeling shoot?
Yeah, it's from the Baby Girl Boutique thing again.
So go to Sarah's MySpace page and check out the photograph of her. You don't mind me doing this, do you?
No.
Well, it's up there. That's what it's for.
Cool. So I own the dress now. I'm stoked about it.
Go check out the picture of Sarah in the skull dress. Fantastic photo. Let's see. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from the Dirty South. Our good friend Ed McCarthy. How are you, Ed?
About as far south as you can get, but I'm not in Key West. I'm in New Orleans.
All right. Hey, by the way, sorry we had to put you out there. We were running late in this last segment, so.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I lost you, but it brings back all kinds of bad memories on how bad the communication was when we were down here.
Well, because you are right outside. You're right outside the Superdome, right?
I am right outside here now, and of course it's dry, but at the time it was like that the water was up to my knees. And I'm standing out here, and I'm looking across the way, and these windows are still broken out at this place. There's a medical center over here, Medical Center of Louisiana, New Orleans. There's a Hyatt, and, man, I got to tell you, like, all the windows are still broken out. But they spent $185 million for the Superdome, and that thing is all set to go tonight. They're all filing in here.
Has the Superdome, I mean, I don't know all this, but I guess I don't, has the Superdome been closed all this time?
Oh, yeah. They just got it finished up. I mean, you know, after a year, people dying in there and all the human waste and everything else. And, you know, it was just absolutely horrible. 35,000 people. I'm looking over here now, and I get flashbacks to the people that were hanging off the side here yelling for help and helicopters and people were trapped. I mean, once you get up there, I got a good view of that because you're up there. And once you get up there, you're pretty much, that's it. It's like a ramp that goes up, and the Superdome is like kind of built up above ground a little bit here. So I'll tell you what, you know, it's, I'm getting right down the street here is where the cop told me, hey, the National Guard down here, and the cop says, he says, they got more bodies floating down there, down the street, about an eighth of a mile down the street here. There's about an underpass near the Superdome. So, I mean, I got all kinds of flashbacks to this thing. I'm not to bring your listeners down here. Because we got a fine email from a nice listener today who actually likes us, so I want to keep that going. What are your listeners?
The listeners dig you guys. The listeners, you are a huge part of the day of everybody who listens to us here in Portland, my friend. So
I appreciate that, Rick. I just don't want to be morbid.
No, it's
people here are really excited about this whole thing. And, you know, I got the Atlanta Falcons are 2-0, the Saints are 2-0, I mean, and now the Saints are staying, and all of their season ticket seats are gone now for the rest of the year. They're all sold out. So now, I remember last year they were talking like about the wrecking ball taking this place down. Got a brand new shiny roof. It looks nice. I mean, it looked like hell when we saw it last time. It was all ripped apart. The water was pouring in. And this is amazing. I mean, what they did, and they actually, you know, they hit the deadline. So, you know, if you look at it from the standpoint that it's a spark for these guys and people are saying, okay, you know, that shows we can get things done in New Orleans, it's actually kind of a good thing for them.
Well, that was going to be my question. You say it cost how much did it cost to fix up the Superdome?
$185 million.
So where did that money come from?
Well, that's a darn good question. You know, I would be a bit surprised if some of that money didn't come from the NFL. And, you know, you got, there's a shop owner up the road here, and he's got a thing, and he says, thank you. He's got a sign in his window. He says, thank you, Paul Tagliabue. Now, Tagliabue just went out as commissioner, but he took this guy aside here and said, the owner, Tom Benson, at the time, and he said, you know, this is really a kidney punch if you guys think you're going to take these guys out of here. And that's ridiculous. And the timing couldn't be worse. So, you know, you have a team that was a vagabond team, and they were just, you know, killing themselves last year going to Baton Rouge. And then they were all over. They were, you know, in San Antonio. They're splitting their home games. And now they're home. And the people are, like, really excited about it. And, you know, even people that lost their homes are here. Well, you know, we were down for Katrina for the Mardi Gras, and people were excited about that because they look at it as one step at a time.
Well, that was going to be my question. Is it's like, is the Superdome sort of like this, you know, this jewel in the dustbin? I mean, is it like the one thing that's repaired in this sea of crap that still hasn't been fixed?
Well, you know, it all depends. I mean, they got new carpet down there for the field, and you know, they have the synthetic turf that got that down there, and you know, that's all taken care of. They had to. I mean, I don't have the numbers with me, but I was reciting them this morning. But like, you know, 1.9 miles of tile and roofing and all of that stuff that they had to repair. Talked to a guy yesterday. He's the architect for the Georgia Dome in Atlanta where the Falcons play. And he said they did not get the bid down here. He's a construction guy. They built the dome, basically. Not an architect, but he built it. And he said they didn't get the bid to come down and refurbish it. But, you know, the company that did invited them down. And he was down, and he watched all this. He said, if you saw this thing last week or 2 weeks ago, he said it's like 3,000 people up on top of the freaking roof, and they're just, you know, he says it looked like ants.
Right.
And they got it fixed. And it's amazing. It really
Excellent.
Is.
All right, my friend. Well, it's good to know that at least some of the things are on a path to the recovery down there. So, all right. Enjoy the game. Ed, are you staying for the game?
Yeah, we're going to give it a shot. We'll see what happens. that could be a little iffy, but we'll see.
All right, my friend. We'll talk to you soon. Ed McCarthy, there you go. CNN radio correspondent in Atlanta, Georgia. There you go. And in New Orleans today, actually. There you go. It's 503-733-2970. Rick, this email says, you're the one who's out of touch here. Haven't you seen any hip-hop video or My Super Sweet 16 or anything on MTV? God, Laura watches that. Or anything on MTV. I know I'm old and out of touch, but this is pretty ridiculous. It's totally pornographic, says this email. The jitterbug indeed. Our generation had the lambada, though, so I guess I can't say anything about it. So here's the thing, and I will trust you on this, Sarah, because you kind of go out and I don't. But I just wonder whether, like, the grinding. I wonder whether it's a thing. How do I put this? Whether it's a thing that kids actually do as such in a vacuum, or whether they only do it when adults are around to irritate them. Do you know what I mean? Like, if there were no adults watching.
What kind of question is this?
I know, because it's a well known and well established dynamic.
No,
that teenagers do things to shock adults.
I think they're doing it for their own personal
enjoyment.
Think
about all those idiot kids that just, I mean, and I, when I say idiot kids, I mean, I was one of them. But, I mean, you know, all the freaky goth kids and everything that go to school. Clearly, you know, if there was nobody around to be offended, you wouldn't bother to do any of that stuff.
Well, why do you think the spiky punk kids, you know, are in the front of the stage, like, you know, making, you know, circle pits and, like, you know, like beating each other up?
True.
It's not to impress anybody. It's because it's what they want to do. You know, I don't think that these kids would be doing it.
I just wonder where these girls came from that do this sort of a thing. They were never
low
around
self-esteem.
When I was a kid. Well, I'm all for that, but I'm saying these girls, when I was a teenager, girls with low self-esteem weren't nearly this much fun when I was a teenager. I mean, all they did, they would just sort of, you know,
smoke with you behind the portables. And
that's what I'm saying, and wear too much Aquanet. That's, and, you know, talk to you about their stepfather named Jerry, who always touched them a lot. I mean, that's all it is. It's just weird. That's all I'm saying. Well, let's talk to, is this Brian? Brian, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how's it going?
What's up?
Well, yeah, so my wife just got back from Orange County over the weekend, and she brought home the Orange County Register, and her and our nephew goes to that school. And so there's an article in the Register here written by Laura Blindberg, a Register columnist, Orange County Register. She looks kind of like a female version of Kenny G with short hair.
Uh-huh.
But anyways, that doesn't matter. She writes an opinion piece about this and basically says her solution to the whole thing, here's her solution, are you guys ready? This is her crazy idea. Says the local amateur ballroom dance association is always looking for opportunities to woo more people back.
That's so embarrassing. There is, look, I'm an adult. I'm heading towards middle age, and this is embarrassing to me. There's always those, all, you know, this is like when they want to have those programs to keep kids from getting into gang violence, and it's like a local accordionist association. And it's like, well, if kids only knew the excitement that came with, you know, barbershop quartetting, they wouldn't be involved in these crip organizations, you know, or whatever. So, yeah, they can totally see this kind of thing coming in when they always roll out some hideous, interesting, stodgy alternative to grinding. And you're exactly right. It's like the Arthur Murray Dance School once the kids do enroll in it. Yeah.
Exactly. So here she goes, what about a school dance with lessons first? Swing, salsa, mambo, and so on. And then open dancing with music conducted to a different type of couples dancing. And then she says, before all you teenagers whirl in unison, she says, did you know that 60,000 people showed up for last May's three-day salsa convention?
Right.
And it's not too late to save the prom.
See, I think that they should go with, like, a punk rock theme or some kind of, like, poppy theme that doesn't have these, like, you know, the lyrics or perhaps, like, the beats that lead kids to do said grinding.
Are you really talking this way? Are you really talking about music?
I think it would be funny. I think it would be funny to, like, try and see kids grinding to, you know, like, the Transplants or something.
I'm just saying, you realize that you now are engaged in a conversation about, quote, music that leads kids to behave in sexual manners.
Oh, I'm not saying it leads them to behave like that, but they're conditioned to dance like that from videos on MTV and all that stuff. They hear that song, they see the girls on the videos shaking their asses, so that's what they do.
Well, one other thing, Rick, you know what this principle has been? This goes back to 2004. Did you realize that?
Oh.
Unless it's said in the article.
No, I haven't really followed the grinding story.
Back in an email that the principal sent in 2004, he said, this is one step from events that should occur on wedding nights.
Yeah. All right. There you go. Thank you.
You betcha.
Yeah, that's Brian. I don't think there was any equivalent to this. So if you have, like, a kid in a Portland high school or something, I'd be curious to know if this is, like, is it just... Because Florida is not like the rest of... I guess this is Orange County. That's a pretty lame place. And I guess Concord, New Hampshire is not really... I mean, I guess it's not really like party headquarters either. I guess the sort of thing you expect...
Old.
I'm not old. I am old. I'm just... It's just a curious thing to me. Because I always... My suspicion... Here's the thing. Whenever the adult media reports on any trend sweeping high schools, my suspicion is always that they're wrong. That's the thing. My default setting is that the newspapers are in, that they've got it incorrect somehow. So anyway, all right. Let's see. A good friend, Brad, the car guy. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick.
What's up?
Yeah, this is not really restricted to high school kids. I mean, any night out at Barracuda or any place else, You know, it's not that the media is wrong, it's just that they're 3 years late.
Is that okay? I will say this, that I mean, and Lo and I were talking about this when the Lo was in town. We were talking about, I had made this observation many years ago, that it was a good time to be a high school boy because all the girls were into, like, girl-on-girl activity now. That there was this whole, what is it, there was Jerry Falwell was talking about, there was some news story where Jerry Falwell was decrying the rampant bisexuality that was sweeping through our high schools. And I was noting that it was a fantastic time to be a young man because, A, all the girls dressed like Britney Spears in the Baby One More Time video, and then all the chicks made out with each other at parties. None of those things happened when I was going to high school. I'm years too late for any of that. And so, but Lowe's observation was, which may or may not be correct, his theory was that for girls, it's the attention thing, that for all girls, the goal is not even necessarily to do anything with a guy. Like, if you're a guy, it's a binary, straightforward proposition. If you're a guy, the goal is to get a girl into bed or into a closet or whatever. The goal is to sleep with the girl. If you're a girl, it's a little more amorphous because the point is just to get the guy's attention. It's just to have the guy's sort of attention fixated on you. That's really what you're going for. And so he noted that it was sort of this, you know, that once there was one girl at one party somewhere in, like, Pennsylvania 10 years ago who kissed another girl and suddenly noticed that all the guys were looking at her. And within, like, a week, every girl in the country knew that that was how you had to get attention. That was what you would do. And so that's the thing with this, too. Is it just, it must just be an attention-getting device, not for adults, but for women to get attention from guys. That's the thing, is it, like, it's been ratcheted up. That if you want to get a guy to pay attention to you, you've just got to be more of a hoe than you had to be, like, 10 years ago. I mean, I guess that's got to be it, so.
I think, clearly we did go to high school in the wrong era.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I went to a Catholic school, so maybe it was a little... You know, my standard is not that by which you should judge everybody, but I remember having to, like, what did they say? Leave room for the Holy Ghost. That was things you had to, it's like a
foot. You had to be a Bible width apart.
No, literally, it was like a foot between you and the girl. They had to be able to see that, but there was actually a nun who would come by and say, leave room for the Holy Ghost, like, which is a creepy notion, by the way.
And the priest.
Yes, totally. All right, thank you, sir. All right, there you go. Well, should we break here?
Do we have a break?
All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth later on. Peter Carlin from the Oregonian. I still got a big pile of gossip stuff to get here as well. And we got some stuff off the new Weird Al Yankovic. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970. Solid State Radio. By the way, we've got this. This is from Aaron. Hey, the lovely Jen and I are planning our honeymoon around The Price is Right. That's fantastic. We're going to have special wedding outfits and t-shirts to try to up our odds of being picked to come on down. If I manage to get on The Price is Right, I'll give a big whoop to all my P-Town peeps, says Aaron. That is fantastic. There you go. All right. Well, hey, so I was at everybody's garden center this weekend with Laura, actually. She's a big gardening enthusiast. And she has the, you know, and I've talked about this for a long time. Like, if you're into Italian food, which we are, you know, you can either, you know, you can buy the herbs and seasoning and stuff at the store where you end up paying a whole lot more, or you can grow it yourself. And a lot of people say, well, look, I'm terrible at growing stuff. Everything I plant dies. You know, the thing is, you don't actually have to grow stuff from scratch anymore. You don't have to grow stuff from the seeds. They've actually got herb starters now, too. So you can, you know, where it's actually, they do, you know, the first, I don't know, 3, 4, 5, 6 weeks of growing it. So once you get it, all that hard work is done. All you have to do is maintain it. You can go in there and you can see that stuff right there. Of course, you walk in that place and you are overwhelmed with the amount of gardening stuff that they've got. You walk in on your left and there's all kinds of, you know, pond accessories. We've talked about this in the past, actually, that if you are a guy like Dennis Pitzenbarger, for example, where you've got a yard, but it's just, you know, it's just a vacant lot. It's just dust and dirt, and you don't know what the hell you're going to put there. One of the things you can put in is a pond, and they will actually give you, as they say, everything but the water. So you can go from having just a huge, empty wasteland in your backyard to having a really lush, green garden. So go to Everybody's Garden Center, 519 Southeast Main. Whether you've been gardening for a long time or whether you're a neophyte at it, they can help you out. 519 Southeast Maine, proud sponsor of the Rick Emerson Show, Everybody's Garden Center.
Solid State Radio!
Fantasy of sound.
Follow me now.
A note from the engineering department of AM 970. In order to obtain maximum sensory enjoyment from the auditory representations contained herein, it is necessary to minimize load resistance through the potentiometer in one's preamplification section. In other words, listen loudly. Thank you. This is AM 970 Solid State Radio.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's muy grande.
Cut! These are really big nachos with a really big taste. We need a bigger sound.
Oh, my fault. Let me try again.
Take two.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a monumental mound of overflowing flavor.
Cut! Better, but let me explain. We're talking tasty corn tortilla chips heaped with savory refried beans and a mouth-watering blend of melted pepper jack and cheddar cheese, all topped with a spicy enchilada sauce, sour cream, black beans, zesty salsa fresca, and rich, full-flavored guacamole. It's a monstrous flavor extravaganza of epic proportions.
Oh, gotcha. Really big taste. I know, I can do that.
Introducing the new Nachos Grande from Taco Time. It's a humongous explosion of crunchy, cheesy, saucy satisfaction that will blow your taste buds away.
Cut. And that's a wrap.
Nachos Grande, new at Taco Time.
Today, more on the big savings story at Walmart. I'm with...
A cashier.
Ooh, and what's the big seller today?
Well, we've got Colgate toothpaste, tartar control baking soda, and regular. Just $1 for the 8.2-ounce tube. Limit of 5.
Smile! Tell us more.
All brands Small and Mighty laundry detergent, 32 fluid ounces, only $2. Limit 4.
Tidy teas, purified pants.
For a limited time only, so stop by Walmart today.
Clean teeth and underwear. A dream come true.
Offer void where prohibited.
Look, it's been a long day. You just got off work. You're tired. Wouldn't it be nice to find a place that you can unwind and blow off some steam. Well, if you haven't been to Jiggles yet, you should really consider checking them out. They've just remodeled and are without a doubt the perfect place to relax after a hard day of work. You can watch the show on one of their two stages, treat yourself to a VIP dance, or just enjoy some good conversation with one of the beautiful girls at Jiggles. With over 80 girls on the schedule, that shouldn't be hard to do. So stop making excuses. Stop by on your way home today and see why Jiggles has been Portland's number one 18 and over gentlemen's club for over 20 years. Just take I-5 to exit 289 in Tualatin. Look for the big Jiggles sign. Open Monday through Friday from 3 p.m. to 2 a.m. till 4 a.m. on the weekends and from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. on Sundays. The best wiggles are at Jiggles.
It's summertime, and homeowners throughout Portland and Vancouver are calling Quicken Loans to lower their mortgage payments by up to 30%. They're going to have a lot more money each month to pay off high-interest credit card bills, afford home improvements, or increase their savings. You can keep more of your money, too, by calling Quicken Loans at 800-281-6105. Make your money work harder by lowering your mortgage payment. It's easy when you call Quicken Loans at 800-281-6105. Join other homeowners throughout Portland and Vancouver who spend less on their mortgage and keep more for themselves. Call the mortgage experts at Quicken Loans and ask about their innovative loan programs to help you achieve your financial goals and help you lower your mortgage payment up to 30%. Call right now, 800-281-6105. 800-281-6105. Quicken Loans is America's home loan experts. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. Call now, 800-281-6105.
This hour of the Rick Emerson Show brought to you by CD Game Exchange with five locations in Portland. They buy, they sell, they trade. CD Game Exchange.
Like Aerosmith's Steven Tyler? You'll love him on A New 2.5 Men.
I'm a huge fan. I lost my virginity.
Really?
A lot of the 70s, I don't remember.
New episode of CBS Tonight.
If you haven't heard the Stephanie Miller Show lately, you haven't heard this.
Yeah.
By the way, can I have my creepy music?
Sure.
You know what this is? This is in the LA Times. It's disclosure this week of a secret data bank operation tracking international financial transactions has caused renewed concerns of civil liberties in the U.S. But this program is just the latest in a series of secret surveillance programs, data banks, and domestic operations justified as part of the war on terror because of
September 11th.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I forgot momentarily. Disclosed individually over the course of the last year, they've become almost routine. That's the thing. People are just like, oh, okay. Lost another right? Oh, well. Yet when considered collectively, they present a far more troubling picture. Civil liberty-minded citizens may recall the president's plan to create the Total Information Awareness Program.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Let's listen. Stephanie Miller. Mornings at 6, only on AM 970, Solid State Radio. This segment of the Rick Emerson Show is brought to you by the Paper Street Soap Company, Portland, Oregon. This is AM 970, Solid State Radio.
We've got to let me turn my computer up here. This is from Dan. Let's see what we've got. This is Howard Dean, I think.
This is going to be like 1994. People want a new direction.
That's fantastic. Thank you, sir. All right. Rick, this email says, being a longtime downtown club junkie, the grinding is nothing new or just something kids do. It's an attention-getting thing. It has nothing to do with guys. Girl wants a free drink, they do the grindy thing. And I swear to God, that's what he says, and it's in quotes, the grindy thing. Anyway, he said, I've also heard a few of the ladies confess that they use the grindy dance to see if a guy is good in bed. If he can't dance the grind, then he's out. So to all you men who have danced...
That's wrong.
So to all you men who have danced the bump and grind with the ladies and then been left all alone when the lights come on, in your face, he says. Good times. All right, there you go. That's from somebody we should probably not name. All right, anyway, so there you go. It's 503-733-2. I remember when we thought we were all badass in school because we... I don't even want to talk about it because it's retarded. I remember when I was like a sophomore, junior,
and thinking that we were really cool because we were like, we were slam dancing in our high school. And if you think I look retarded now, imagine me at like 16 with a mullet and like a Motley Crue shirt. And of course, at a high school dance, what are they really playing that you can slam dance to anyway? You know what I mean? Oh, it was a really rockin' Billy Squire song. Let's fling ourselves, you know, against each other.
That's
in
right,
the middle
I've
of the floor.
Crowd-surfed.
Okay.
And you totally, like, that's such a bad idea if you're a girl.
Totally, because it's just a whole lot of groping going on.
It's a whole grope fest.
Yeah.
I was lucky to have a shirt by the time I got out.
Let me just say this. She did not take part in this, but Laura went to see, a few years ago, she went to see Everclear at an in-store performance. There's a place called Media Play, and I don't think they have Media Play here, but it's like Hastings, have you been there? Or it's like an all-media store. It's like they sell books and CDs and movies and whatever. It's like a big Blockbuster, sort of. Anyway, so she went to see Everclear play at an in-store, basically at a Blockbuster. And she said that, like, it was 1994, 1995 when this sort of thing happened anywhere. Everclear comes out on stage, and again, this is literally, it's like playing at a Borders somewhere. I mean, it's that kind of vibe. And it's Everclear, for God's sakes. And they walk out on stage, and they begin doing the Santa Monica song, and immediately, guys jumps up on the stage, jumps, tries to crowd surf in the middle of, like, a Borders. So there was this period of time in the mid, like, I went to see, Oasis with her, and it's the same thing. They play Wonderwall, and there's some guy like, whoa, like throwing himself against us right in front of the stage. I don't miss that guy. I don't miss that guy, and I don't miss that era. One final observation of the bumping and the grinding. In a weird way, I suppose, maybe I'm lucky that I got out of my teenage years before this started happening. Because as much of a misfit as I was, and as much as I didn't, I mean, I remember having to do regular dancing with girls. I mean, I guess you didn't have to, but I mean, you know, I remember being at dances where it's like you would totally get up the nerve to, and if you were a guy, you know, like me, you would totally just wait for the slow dances, but every now and again some girl, and you wonder if they do it out of some perverse, it's sense of malice, where like a girl would ask you to come, and it was always a girl that you thought was kind of cute, would ask you to dance to an up-tempo number. Now I sound old. Here's an up-tempo number that we'll all enjoy.
Like a Staying Alive or something like that?
No, I'm trying to remember what kind of up-tempo songs I would have to dance to when I was in high
buggy?
School. No.
Afternoon Delight?
No. I'm trying to remember. Because the slow songs, of course, were all power ballads. There's only one power ballad.
I was in the horrible 90s stage. It was all like Boys to Men and Mariah Carey.
Totally, Casey and JoJo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's only one power ballad. I mean, they're all basically Heaven by Warrant, you know, in one incarnation or another. But like the up-tempo songs that we had today, it was like Madonna and like, God, what else?
Did they try to get you to dance to Holiday?
Holiday, no. No, but I remember being asked to dance to, what's that song? Well, to Let's Go Crazy by Prince. And imagine me trying to dance to a Prince song.
Oh, that's so awkward.
I mean, it's like, I know, it's like a sick puppy you just want to take out behind the barn and get rid of. You know what I mean? That's exactly what I was just, and let's not forget that every single person in my generation, everybody in my age group, had to dance to MC Hammer's You Can't Touch This at some point. And I mean, it's just, you can kind of close your eyes and see me out there on the dance floor trying to do it. And I was also coming of age right when everything started having a club mix, too.
Oh, God, you were actually attempting to dance?
Because there was sort of a bell curve where when I entered high school, I never, ever, ever went to a dance because I was terrified. You know, just terrified and just a little wormy guy with no game, as the kids say. And then by the time I finished high school, I wasn't going to dances either because I was, you know, I was old enough and cool enough I didn't have to go to that. That was for kids. And so I would just, you know, and so instead we would just sit at my friend Ellen's house and everybody would sniff paint thinner. But there was this awkward, like, 1 year period, like maybe the end of my sophomore year to like halfway through my junior year when I actually went because, like, I was trying to scope the chicks. And it's like if you're there, and you would always go with a whole bunch of your dude friends anyway, so that the rejection would sting a little less when you would ask a girl to dance and she would just... Here's a sad story. Here's me. Now we're off into a whole dancing thing. I remember doing this. I remember going over and mustering up the nerve to ask a girl, and I still remember her name, too. Her name was Sandy. Asking this girl named Sandy to dance.
Aww. And it was to a slow song. And I mean, that's the, and you remember this too. See, you don't know this pain, Sarah. You do not know. And I'm not saying that, I'm not trying to be one of those life is so tough for white men in America thing.
No, I know the pain of having a crush on somebody. And then the rumor starts like, oh, I think he's going to ask you to dance. And then he never asks you to dance.
Yeah, but see,
and then you cry just the same.
But
it happens to girls.
But you're a girl. You could ask a guy to dance. You can't. See, you don't know. You women are so blind to the power that they wield. You have no idea. You are like you. And when I say you, I mean you individually and you collectively as women. You are like that Storm t-shirt where it's her just holding the crowd in the palm of her hand. That's how you women are to men. I mean, just our entire lives are right there just balanced in the cradle of your hand. It's all you. You have entire control over us, our self-esteem, our everything. And I know women are always insecure and women agonize about their self-esteem. You have no idea, though, how much worse it is for guys. Because it's totally and completely dependent upon how you treat us. And women don't realize that. And again, I'm not sure we're trying to be one of those, it's hard out here for a man, guys. Because men got it better than women in like 80% of the ways in this country. But the one place where that's not true is at any sort of dance. Because guys have to, you know, and guys remember this, where the song would end. And then you would wait to see what the next song was going to be. And you would cross your fingers that it was a slow song. Because A, lets you get a little close to that special someone. And B, because you don't actually have to have any dancing acumen. You don't actually have to have any moves. You know, because if they set, you know, because if they play it and it's like some, you know, I don't know, it's like some CNC Music Factory song, then you know that it's like another 5 minutes of sitting there and eating stale chips and looking at your watch. But if it's Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper, you're like, yeah, this is it. Because all you have to do is basically stand there and like rock back and forth like a white metronome. And so the song starts, and it's whatever. It's like crazy for you or something. And you're like, yeah, okay, here I go.
I requested that at my high school prom, and they never played it.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I woke up with the guy since then, so.
You woke up with the... Oh, you no, broke up with the guy.
I'm glad I don't have that memory attached forever.
What was your prom song?
I think it was the Titanic theme.
Oh, that's pretty... See, but I mean, you can't... That's classic. That's iconic.
Oh, man, and I was so obsessed with that that movie. I bought a dress, and I, you know, it looked a lot like one of Kate Winslet's.
But the slow song would start, and then this is what you would do. You would spend the first third of the song trying to work up your nerve. Like, come on, come on. Come on, Emerson, get it together. Just walk across left, right. Come on, you know, and you're talking to your feet. And guys have this whole thing where they, like, your brain is ready to go. Not unlike, how do I put this? This is not unlike another intra-body or inter-body conversation that men will sometimes have in their lives, maybe at a later point, where your brain is speaking to a lower part of your body going, come on, come on, come on, come on, just come on, just, like, let's get with the program and just let's get it done. Come on. Just, okay. Could we please just get ready? Come on, what's it going to take? You have that conversation with your feet when you're that guy at the dance. And the Cyndi Lauper song is playing and you're going, all right, now we're just, okay, you're going to put your left foot and then right. And then we're going to walk over and we'll be right there. And then we'll be out on the dance floor. And you spend a third of the song agonizing about it. And then you finally go over and then you get out there. And then, of course, once you're on the dance floor, then you're just sitting there berating yourself for taking a long time to go over and ask her. Because then you've only got whatever 90 seconds left in the song. But in my case, this is me, where I walk all the way over. And, of course, the girl is never sitting by herself either. That's another rule. The girl has to be sitting with all of her friends. So you have to ask her to dance in front of, like, you know, in front of the rest of the pecking party. And so I walk over to this girl, Sandy, and I'm like, you know, undoubtedly just a wreck, just bad skin, bad hair, just bad everything. And I'm walking over, and of course, you as a woman, when you're sitting there in a chair and you see a guy walking towards you, clearly you know, as he's taking three steps, you know, you already know. So he's got all the way across you, you know exactly, like the guy is zooming in on you, right? You can see him getting close. So I walk over to Sandy and go, so do you want to dance? And then she didn't even say no. She just turned to her friends, and they all laughed in unison. It was just,
no.
I'm like, you want to dance? And they just turned, and it was just like a whole lot of, you know, just totally snickering. And then she just looked at her feet and waited for me to leave.
At least you can laugh about it.
Yeah. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. I said Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
One of David Hasselhoff's daughters tried to commit suicide last night.
What?
One of David Hasselhoff's daughters tried to commit suicide last
night.
Wait,
hold on. I wasn't prepared. I didn't know that there was going
to
be...
I was trying to get your mind off what you were talking about and go in another in a new direction.
Wait, hold on. Let me just...
Got any romance in your life at the moment, David?
Bobby?
Any romance in your life?
No romance in my life. I'm romancing my daughters.
All right, there you go.
Well, the report was that the 14-year-old daughter tried to cut herself. David Hasselhoff and his estranged wife, Pamela Bach, have been going through a bitter divorce and custody fight. He has been accused of brutalizing Pam, restraining orders issued. Many other issues have not been resolved. Pamela Bach alleged that Hasselhoff grabbed me and pushed me hard into the car. Maybe some of that break dancing you guys were talking about. She added, in the past, he has broken my nose and called me a whore. A bitch and a slut.
Jesus.
Oh, my goodness. I should have pre-written this, shouldn't I?
I wasn't laughing, by the way, at breaking her nose and calling her a whore. I was just... There are some phrases you don't really expect to come out of Tim Riley's mouth during...
I should have announced page two and pre-read it.
Seriously.
I did pre-read page one.
Page two? Skank! All right. Break my nose and call me a whore. There you go. That's the Tim Riley story, ladies and gentlemen.
So that's that. Apparently she cut herself as her dad did.
All right. That's not a suicide attempt. That's a whole pay more attention to me, daddy.
I printed out an update for you.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Should I go get it right now?
If you'd like.
All right. I'll
do it. I'll read this email. Rick, the grinding started with the movie Dirty Dancing. It is now more open in the schools. I don't say. By the time there's a movie about it, starring Patrick Swayze, it's widespread. That's like the...
And that was a different kind of grinding.
That was a pure kind of grinding.
What was there? There's face-to-face contact. All right.
Can I confess something?
Mm.
I've never seen Dirty Dancing.
Really?
I know, and my pop culture literacy suffers. It's one of those movies that you have to feign because you have to be able to go, nobody puts baby in the corner. it's like a rule when you get a radio job, you have to say that. I've never seen that movie.
You probably wouldn't like it.
Ever. Well, I don't that I'd like it now. I probably wouldn't like it because now I would only be able to see it kitschily. I would only be, it's like Showgirls. I would only be able to see it camp now. Because it came out of what, like 87, 88? Tim, when did Dirty Dancing come out?
Well,
in the 80s,
I think it was 88.
So I've missed the period of time in which I could have seen it as like a legitimately good film.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So here's an update. Rep for David Hasselhoff says his daughter, Haley, now we have a name, did not attempt suicide, but instead suffered a severe scratch to her forearm while playing with her cat. In a statement sent to Faded Youth by Hoff's publicist, Judy Katz, she had this to say, quote, upon boarding an overnight flight for overseas last night, Mr. Hasselhoff received a call from his oldest daughter alerting him to the fact that his younger daughter had been playing with a dog and cat at her mother's home in the San Fernando Valley. The cat gave her a severe scratch on the forearm and she was bleeding. Mr. Hasselhoff did what any responsible parent would do.
Immediately fabricated a story.
He called 911 to report the incident. She
was scratched by a cat.
And asked if they would send someone over to check on his child with a cat scratch.
That's okay. I think we can officially say now that there's a whole weird energy happening in the Hasselhoff.
Meanwhile, Pamela Bach, the estranged wife, said Haley never attempted suicide and that her husband knew it all along.
Uh-huh.
She claims David used his daughter as a pawn, telling her, quote, you're going down, I'm calling the police.
Okay.
Bach said her daughter was scratched by the family cat.
I don't understand this family.
You're going down.
It sounds like something Robert Blake would say.
Seriously.
You're going down.
Who said this to who?
David Hasselhoff told her daughter.
Okay. Well, there you go.
Bach said her daughter was scratched by the family cat last night around 6 p.m. She said her daughter was crying uncontrollably. So she called David and suggested it might be appropriate for the girl to see a psychologist today.
Because the cat scratched her.
What?
Well, that's it. Yeah, I suppose so. At that point, Bach claims David began ranting that he would call the police and bring her down.
Oh, the wife.
So,
the dirty slut.
I see.
The whore.
The whore.
Mm-hmm. So why would Hoff want to bring his ex down? Well, recently she suggested that Haley should see a psychologist due to uncontrollable crying, which caused David to erupt. According to Pamela, his goal is to paint a picture of an unfit mother. Meanwhile, David claims he hasn't even spoken to his estranged wife in days, but not since the cat scratch incident.
I think the carefully constructed veneer of the Hasselhoff family is beginning to disintegrate.
Okay. Thank goodness that cat was around.
Jesus, there you go. Let's see, this email says, this is a subject line of this is a how guys think question. about grinding. I have a clubbing friend who frequents places like McFadden's. We almost did a listener party there, weren't we?
Yes.
It is all grinding and nearly full-on sex on the floor. So, this question continues, wouldn't the guy be aroused the whole time? Isn't that uncomfortable? Well, how do you mean? In my day, this continues, geezer-like, we would giggle amongst our girlfriends about the loser guy who was aroused when we
totally.
Danced with him.
That's totally true.
They should all get off our lawns. Okay, there you go. That's we won't mention who that's from. So, is that true? Would you girls get together and go, he was totally all, like, big
no,
pan
get,
on me?
And if you get stuck dancing with someone you don't want to, you know, like your ducky friend who has a crush on you wanted to dance.
Did you have to do that?
You have to, like, make sure that you're away from the area so that you never know.
From the area?
Yeah.
You have to dance with them the way Storm hugs you, which is where, like, loop the arm around and then, like, push your, like, ass back as far so there's no contact. So, and I don't mean to knock Storm, but Storm is not unlike us. Storm is just not a very, Storm is not a very touchy person with people she doesn't know. And she'll
nothing
tell
wrong
you.
With that.
No, I'm saying, and she's up front, she'll tell you that. In fact, it says that on the MySpace page. Like, touch her without asking and you will get punched in the face. Just, you know, everybody, like I said, we're kind of that way ourselves. So, but if you see how Storm hugs people that she doesn't really know, it's clearly a move that she spent a long time perfecting, and it's she will bend forward at the waist, and she will kind of loop her arms around your neck. So really, the only contact is like the back of her wrist, like the back of her left wrist, and the back of your neck. So there's about 3 square inches of touching, and the rest of it is no. And there's like 5 feet between her hips and yours. So that's how you have to dance with. Mm-hmm. That's how you dance with a friend.
Or a guy that you're not interested in.
Or a guy and you don't want to know if
well,
he's interested
even
in you.
If you are interested in a guy, yeah, it's not something that you...
Yeah. No, and see...
Because that's just overly awkward.
And
you're not at a club, you're in a gymnasium, and you're not drunk, you're sober.
And there's no female equivalent to that either. There's no... There really isn't. Guys can talk about, like, you know...
Whatever they talk about.
The headlights, all they want, but there's no... There's no female that's another shame that women will never experience, which is the, who wants to come to the blackboard and do this geometry sum? Richard! You know, and just like, later, you know, and it's just, you know, no, you, there are no words
well,
for
then,
how
do
horrifying
just, do
it is.
Do we live in a shameless society then? Because, yeah, I'd imagine if some guy is basically, you know, looks like he's having sex with some girl with clothes on, I would think that would be a little...
Maybe it's an undergarment thing. Is underwear different than
you're
it used
like
to be?
Like padded underwear?
I mean, I don't.
I think there's more Velcro involved these days than in times past.
That solves it all, Tim.
Glad to help.
I'm just saying, but by the way, let me just, since we're apparently on the subject of grinding. Grinding is the word of the day is grind. Let me just note that when you are, at least in my experience, when you were a teenage boy at a school dance and you were in a, you know, that state, the aroused state, and then because here's the thing.
Okay.
Well, no, I'm just saying that there is no waiting for a better time when you're 14 because it's just a perpetual, I mean, there's no controlling it. That's what I'm saying.
That's what kind of sucks because, you know, usually
yes,
before
yes,
you'd
does.
Have to, no, you'd have to, like, get to know somebody, maybe know their first name, you know, have a drink together. But it's like people are getting to first and second base, like, right on the dance floor.
It's true.
Well, have to be the special moment,
I'm
you
just,
know.
I'm saying it might be a little bit better for boys now because they don't have to apologize for the, oh, I'm sorry about that. Because it's not.
We should get somebody on here that dances like that and ask questions because I'm completely confused.
We should get one of those guys that we saw at the club at the
yeah, or a girl more specifically and see you know what she's.
If
any of those girls listen?
I don't know. I think I'm suspecting the answer is no. I'm suspecting that's a lot of jamming audience right there. I'm just saying. No, I mean to be fair. I mean what else are those girls going to listen to? Not like listening to Lars. But just as a side note, real quickly, and we'll get back to Tim here, when you, at least my experience was, when you were a teenage boy, I can't believe we spent like 2 hours talking about this, when you were a teenage boy, and you are, you know, there's a, you know, you're in the aroused state.
God, we stop saying that, it's just...
Well, how am I supposed to put it? When...
I think everyone knows.
When you're
exceptionally...
Yeah, just say when you're happy. And then we slow down and go, in a row.
It's because the whole thing, because we're such prudes here. That's the thing I realize sometimes, is that people really, sometimes you go, well, that shock radio program. But you know what? The thing is, we're just such prudes on this show. But when you are that way and you are dancing with a girl, it's not fun for the guy. It's like I said, it's not like it's only awkward for you. It's not like the guy's really enjoying it. Like, oh, ho, ho,
and that's
the worst part
is that you can tell that the guy's awkward, and yeah, that makes you more awkward because he's trying to hide the fact.
It's not like the guy's going to take advantage. Oh, I'm going to get my freak on. You know, it's no. The guy's sitting there going, oh, God, I wish I was dead. You know, that's, I mean, you, can I just make this final note? And I only mean this, this is, all I mean by this is what I'm saying. I really am surprised that there aren't more high school kids in this country who go crazy and just engage in all kinds of weird, suddenly violent activities.
That it's being encouraged.
No. I'm not encouraged. I'm really not. I mean, I'm really not. It's hard. As a great man once said, being young is sometimes less fun than being dead. I'm really not encouraging. I simply am saying, and I mean this sincerely, I honestly am surprised that there are not more teenagers. And specifically teenage boys, not the teenage girls don't have it hard, but I'm saying for, I don't.